And I do love him, don't you? Come on, I do, don't you? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
I tell you what, let's do for this little while this morning. It's good just being in a room full of people. And let's just take the lid off, all right? Uncork the bottle. Let our love just pour out to the Lord from it. Let's sing this chorus again. And just no holding back, all right? No repression, no restraint. Just let our love flow towards the Lord this morning. Stand up with me. We'll sing this two or three times. We might modulate it a little bit, but let's just turn it loose to love the Lord. Ready? Here we go.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Because he first loved me. Because he first loved me.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. I hope the Lord received that, and I hope it pleased him to let him know that we love him. We do love you. I love you. Everybody say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Oh, my Savior, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You know, there's another little chorus that starts with the same two words, oh how. But this chorus is about God's love for us. And it's been around for many years, and I think a lot of people know it. If you don't know it, it's the kind of chorus that you hear at one time and you'll be able to sing it. It says, oh how he loves you and me. Oh how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. If you know it, sing it. If you don't, you'll pick it up. Here we go. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. It sounded like most of us knew it, and if you didn't know it, it's real easy, isn't it? For the sake of those that didn't know it, let's do it one more time.
Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me.
presuppose the oh how is in that song. I mean, when you say oh how and you're thinking about God, how big's that love? Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, talks about His love. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's one little word there in that verse, that word so. So, God so loved. How big is that? How deep is that? How wide is that? You know, as a child, we used to sing this little chorus, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. But nobody ever told me what that fountain was that flows so deep and wide. I have come to believe that that fountain that is so deep and is so wide is the fountain of God's love. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide.
Let's do it again.
Deep and wide. Deep and wide. There's a flowing deep and wide, deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you.
There's a fellow by the name of Brennan Manning who used to preach a lot, write books. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I used to read his books and listen to him preach. From listening to Brennan preach, I learned that his real name was not Brennan. He took that name because of a friendship. Brennan said that he served in the Korean War with a fellow by the name of Brennan who was his best buddy. He said, we went through many, many things together. And he said, actually, he saved my life. He said, one night, he and his buddy Brennan were in a foxhole, not too far from the line between the North and the South in Korea. He said it was a winter's night, and he said we were basically just kind of huddled down trying to stay warm. And he said a North Korean soldier pulled a pin on a hand grenade and just flung that thing randomly in our direction. And he said it landed right in the middle of our foxhole. Well, he said, my buddy Brennan took one look at it and just fell on it, covered it with his body. Of course, it exploded and it killed him. He said, the last thing I remember my buddy Brennan doing was looking at me and smiling, and then he died. Well, Brennan was deeply moved by that act, and so he said, I wanted to do what I could to express my gratitude. So he said, the first thing I did was try to look up his family. And he said, I found out he only had one living relative, and that was his mother, who was a little widow who lived in Chicago. So he said, I adopted her as my own second mother. He said, because she had no other relatives. And he said, I wanted to try to care for her all I could. And he said, I called her Ma. And he said, whenever he was going through Chicago, he said he would spend the night sometimes with Ma, sometimes he'd spend the day. He said, Ma lived a pretty simple existence. He said most days what she did was she'd get up and she'd make herself a bowl of tomato soup and a cheese sandwich and would sit down on that couch and watch TV, soap operas. But he said Ma just didn't watch soap operas. Said she interacted with them. She'd talk to them, you know, what's he think she's doing? Who she believes she? And said she really got into soap operas and loved them. So Brennan said whenever he'd go through, he said Ma would make another bowl of soup and another sandwich and we'd watch soap operas together.
Well, he said, one day I asked Ma. He said, I said, Ma, out of gratitude for what your son Brennan did for me, would it be okay with you if I changed my first name to Brennan? And she said, that'd be all right. So he did. Went through whatever legalities you go through to get your name changed so that every time he wrote a check or got a letter, he'd be reminded of what his buddy Brennan had done for him. Well, he said one day, he said, I was visiting Ma, and he said, I was sitting on the couch, and we were having our sandwiches and watching soap operas, and a thought came to me. And he said, I turned to Ma, and he said, Ma, I got a question. She said, what's that, Brennan? He said, do you believe that your son, Brennan, really loved me? She said, oh, you're joking. She said, don't make jokes like that. Don't talk that way about my son. Said, you're just teasing. Stop that. Don't do that. He said, I said, no, Ma. He said, I want to know. Do you believe your son Brennan really loved me? She said, quit. Don't do that. That's a bad joke. Don't joke that way. But he said, I wouldn't quit. He said, I asked her a third time. He said, I said, no, Ma, I really want to know. Do you think your son Brennan loved me? He said, when I said it the third time, she reached over and gripped my arm with both of her hands and yelled at me, stop it! Stop it! What more could he have done? And he said, when Ma said that, I just broke down. And I said, I know, Ma. I'm sorry. And he said, she reached up and patted me a little bit and hugged me a little bit. And she said, that's okay, Brandon. But she said, don't ever talk that way about my boy again. She said, what more could he do? And Brandon said, you know, I think sometimes I come to the Heavenly Father. And I say, I got a question. Does your son really love me? You know, I know I read that in the Bible and I heard Sunday school teachers say it. And I can almost hear the Father saying, you're joking, are you? Don't joke like that. Don't speak that way about my son. I mean, I can imagine somebody saying, well, I know, but I'm hard to love. You know, I'm not very lovable. I mean, I know some people are lovable, but me, I'm kind of hard to get along with. I can imagine somebody being here this morning saying, well, I can understand God's love for certain people, those sweet little old ladies, and those missionaries, and some of those people that are very dedicated. But me, I just don't have very high level dedication. And I look at my life, and I'm just not real lovable. Look, if there's anybody in the room this morning that does not feel real lovable, I have a message for you. All right? And if you will receive it, you came to church this morning to hear me say what I'm getting ready to say. All right? Just put this in your mind. If you don't feel real lovable this morning, get ready. This will be the word of the Lord to you today. All right? Here it comes. Are you ready? This is for everybody that does not feel real lovable. Ready? Here it is. You're worse than you think. You think you're bad? I got news for you. You're worse than you think you are. I can imagine somebody saying to God, saying, I'm not very good. And God saying, you're not very good. What do you mean you're not very good? I've known you. I've known you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I've known you all your life. I've known everything you ever thought, did. You know, I know you when you tell the truth, and I know you when you lie. And to tell the truth, you lie more than you tell the truth. I know you inside and out. You think you're bad? I've got news for you. You are worse than you think that you are. And to anybody in this room this morning that feels pretty good, I've got a message for you. Are you ready? Here comes a message for all who feel pretty good. You're not half as good as you think you are. Yeah, we miss it on both ends. We underestimate how bad we are, and we overestimate how good we are, and we come short either time. We really do. Look, the Bible says all of our righteousness. Now, our righteousness is the best that we can whip up. That's you at your best, all right? All our righteousness is like clean linen. Is that what it says? No. All our righteousness is what? Like filthy rags. That means the very best that you are is not good enough. It won't be. You know, I had a good friend who was in furniture who bought two refrigerators and just needed one. And he called me up and said, would you like a new refrigerator? I said, well, I don't really need it, but yeah, if you're giving it away. He said, well, just come and get it. Now, I got to tell you, friends, I was perfectly happy with the refrigerator that I had. But I went and got this brand new one, sparkling white brand new refrigerator. And when I rolled that brand new sparkling white refrigerator into my kitchen and set it down beside my old refrigerator, I found myself wondering what I was doing with such a piece of junk in my kitchen. I mean, when you set that new one down, that old one, I saw dents and scratches and mold and rust. It just looked awful compared to the new one. That's why I'm saying, look, you may think you're pretty bad, but you put yourself down beside absolute perfection, you'll look worse. And you may think you're pretty good, but you put yourself down beside the perfections of God, you won't look so good anymore. No. And I hope you don't think that has anything to do with the love of God. Because if you do, you're wrong. How many people in the room ever potty trained somebody? How many have been potty trained? Okay, just like first section, a few hands didn't go up. I'm worried. Let's try that again. How many have been potty trained? Okay, all right. There's still a few lighting on there, all right. Well, I had two boys. John Thomas was my oldest. He was easy. I mean, he was a little intellectual guy. And we just had a talk with him, I remember. We just said, son, don't you think it's time you quit wearing those diapers? And he said, okay. He was good. He was done. That was it. Now, his brother was another trip. His brother slept like a rock. And I always had to sleep close to his brother because I knew if he made the slightest noise in the night, if I didn't get in there, we were going to have an accident. So I had to really work with his brother. Keith Miller said he had a daughter like that second son of mine. And he said when he was potty training his daughter, one night in the middle of the night, he heard that all familiar noise. And he said, I got up and ran into her bedroom. And he said, she was laying on her bed there. And he said, I said, honey, do you need to go? And she said, So he said, I grabbed her and picked her up. Said she was like a limp dish rag. She was still asleep. But he said, I knew she needed to go. So he said, I took her into the bathroom and I unbuttoned her little pajamas and I got her on the seat there. And he said, I had to hold her up because said she was still asleep. And he said, I was holding her up. And he said, I said, now, honey, go ahead. And she started doing what it is you do there. Well, he said, as I was holding her there, said, all of a sudden this wave of love just swept over me. And he said, I hugged her up and kissed her. And I said, I love you. Said she just went, And he said, well, she finished up. And he said, I got her all cleaned up and took her back to bed and laid her back down. He said, I went to my bed and I laid down. And he said, I asked myself, what was that love all about? What was that all about? And he said, I asked myself, why was I loving her so much? And he said, I asked, was it because she was being pleasant? And he said, the answer was no. He said, as a matter of fact, she's doing one of the most unpleasant things that humans do. So he said, I wasn't loving her because she's being pleasant. He said, was I loving her because she was being responsive to me? And he said, no. He said, she didn't even remember it. She never woke up. So he said, why was I loving her? And he said, this was the conclusion I came to. I just can't help it. I just can't help it. I just love her. She's mine. I help make her. She's my child. And I love her. I love her when she's asleep. I love her when she's awake. I love her when she stinks. I love her when she smells good. I love her when she responds. I love her when she doesn't respond. I just love her. Now listen to me, friends. Maybe somebody in the room really needs to hear this message right now. Let me tell you something. If you've not yet heard it, listen carefully. God cannot help loving you. He just loves you. It's His nature. He loves you. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you when you're up or when you're down. He loves you when you're pleasant or not, responsive or not. He just loves you. He has never not loved you. And He will never cease loving you. You, all your whole life long. You even die and go to hell. You'll go to hell with God loving you. You know, every now and then somebody will say to me, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? Well, He doesn't. Look, if you go to hell, it will not be because of God's love. It'll be in spite of God's love. If you go to hell, you will go to hell climbing over every barrier that God put up to keep you out of there, including the death of His own dear Son who died for your sins so you wouldn't have to. No, people don't go to hell because they accept God's love. They go to hell because they reject God's love. Oh, how He loves you and me. If I counted that song right, five times in that song, we say, oh, how. I'd like for us all to say it five times, and I want to make a request to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that God's Holy Spirit will shed abroad His love in our hearts this morning. Would you say, oh, how, with me five times? Oh, how. Oh, how. Oh, how. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He do? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. You know, I think this song would be a great song for us just to use for our time of communion this morning. So we're going to do that. Surely there is no greater expression of the love of God than in the gift of His Son. So those folks who are going to be serving communion, if you want to get ready, no, we'll just sing this one more time and it'll be our communion song, and then they'll be serving the communion. And then following the communion, we'll have the offering. Now, I know I've taken a long time this morning. Sometimes the kids go back during the offering. Well, be prepared to do that, but just know you won't be gone long, all right? We'll wrap it up pretty quickly. But go ahead when the time comes. But during that time of communion this morning, if you want a prayer, I'll give you a prayer. When you take the bread and you take the cup, just under your breath, tell God you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. Say 50 times if you want to under your breath. Just be praying prayers of love to God. And when the offering time comes, if you've got an offering to give, I'll give you a prayer for your offering too. Just take that offering, and when you give it, tell the Lord you love Him. As a matter of fact, you know, we talk sometimes about love offerings. Yeah, I just wonder if every offering ought to be a love offering. Why would you want an offering if there's no love in it? I knew a couple one time, hadn't been married very long. And they had one of those arguments one night that a lot of young couples have sometimes. It was over a certain amount of money. They went to bed mad. Neither one of them slept very much. Next morning, the young man got up to go to work. And he was feeling guilty. He knew he'd made a mistake. So he took the money they'd argued over and laid it on the kitchen table and went to work. When he came back home that night, the money was still on the table. He called his wife in and said, I put that money on the table. Why didn't you spend it? She said, because there was no love in it. She said, I will not spend money that has no love in it. She wouldn't touch it. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her. So if you got love, give. If you don't love Him, well, just keep your money, all right? Keep it. But if you love, give. We'll have a time of remembering and a time of giving. So let's sing that song, and those folks are going to serve.